Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
We have a great guest speaker today, and we've been spending the time this weekend together. I picked him up at the airport in Orlando on Friday afternoon, and he's one of my preaching heroes from back in the day. I heard him speaking in the 80s and the 90s and every decade since, and I didn't realize till we started having conversation, a lot of the language or the culture of our church comes from things that we learned from him decades ago. And it's still here in the fabric. And I want to add my amen to what Pastor Chris said. If you were not here first service, I challenge you to watch it online, on Facebook Live, on YouTube, or listen to it on the podcast this week. It was a dynamic word about breaking out and breaking through fear and all the limitations of stuff that sometimes we feel living in a mid-sized community. And so I want you to be encouraged on that. Pastor Rick Godwin is, a great hero, great teacher, great pastor. He's a senior pastor and founder with his wife Cindy of Summit Church in San Antonio, Texas. And he has traveled the world. He's just a mighty man of God. We have a lot of mutual friends, and just recently we become friends, and we're just so glad that he's part of this house. Now, I'm going to show you a little video, and he's going to come right up. So this is his introduction, but let me just set this up for you. We have a little clip. It's only a few seconds here. Pastor Rick, years ago, he used to play rock and roll guitar, and he also used to be a commercial pilot. And so he kept flying and flying. And recently, in February, he celebrated a big birthday. And he was preaching in London. And they took him out after church and let him fly an old World War II Spitfire. So this is a little video. They did it. Listen to this. He let me tell his age, because you're gonna think he's younger than I am, okay? Pastor Rick just had his 81st birthday, and here was his birthday present. Go ahead and roll that.
Okay. Good morning, church. Oh, I got to use the microphone. Sorry. Hey, you're looking good. Great to be here in Ocala, Florida. Great time. I've been all over Florida in the many, many years of here, different churches, and I could live in Florida. I like it. I'm stuck in Texas, but I'll do the best I can. Congratulations, 35 years at anything is success. I mean, what a haul that is. It takes guts, it takes resilience, it takes industriousness, and it takes pure old tenacity. You know, I really am just an average guy with guts. That's about it. I'll do it. I'll face the adversary. I'll take the risk. I'll step out in faith, and I'm willing to lose for big gain. And if you're not, you'll live very small. So it's not something you do every day, but through life, you'll have to take a chance. There are no guarantees. When you get married, there's a risk. When you have kids, there's a risk, correct? When you do anything worth doing, there's always a risk element to it, and that's how you grow. No risk, no reward. In fact, one of my mentors used to say to me, no risk, no nothing. And that's a dangerous place to be. So if you want a bigger life, if you want a better marriage, you want to do better in your health or finances, find people ahead of you. Find people who have done what you want to do and go with them. What does he know I don't know? When I was at Steve Kelly's preaching at Wave Conference, this has been several years ago, they were interviewing all of us who were speakers and asking us, if you could have dinner with three people in the world, any three people, who would you want to have dinner with? And I knew what they were going to look for, Billy Graham or something. And I said, Steve Jobs. I said, Jeff Bezos. And I said, the other guy, Elon Musk. And I realized, I said, I don't want their ideology politically. I don't want their ideology morality. I want to know how they think, because all of them changed the world. So you can learn from people you don't like. These guys changed the world. And half the people I preach to haven't changed a flat tire, and they got big plans. So if you want to think big, hang out with people who think bigger than you, and it's catchy. You can catch that. You can't be them, but it'll elevate your thinking, elevate your life, elevate your marriage. Find people going where you want to go and tag in behind them. That's exactly what I've tried to do most of my life. And it'll make you bigger and better. Who's got a better marriage? Who's got more kids? I wouldn't want to get advice from a woman been married 6 times as my hairdresser on how to have a good marriage. Right? And I don't want to talk to me about having kids who ain't never had any kids. I want somebody to look like she's been rolled over with an 18-wheeler and got tread marks on her tummy, and she's got kids. She can teach me about my kids. She got something to say. Okay. I talked about safety last in the first session. This session, I'm going to talk to you about choosing your future. Choosing your future. An observation I've made over 80 years of my life is that people with incredible talent, great potential, intelligent capacity, rarely live up to what's inside of them. And I think it's primarily a misunderstanding of how life happens. Not for just people who are believers, but even those who don't believe in God. But for those of us who have faith, I think often we have a superstitious understanding about how the future happens. You must choose the future. Have you ever thought about how many choices we make all the time? Have you ever been overwhelmed by all the choices in front of you? You know, your body has to choose to breathe. Do you realize that if your body stopped autonomically choosing to breathe, you would die? You would suffocate? What if God designed us so that breathing was a choice we had to make every second of our life? You couldn't get a job. You couldn't ask for a date. You couldn't preach a message. You couldn't do much of anything because all you've got to do every second of your life is inhale, exhale, inhale. But thank God he's built that into our autonomical system where it's automatic. We don't even think about it, see? So there are choices that are part of our existence that are essential to our survival. Breathing happens to be one of them. Then there's eating. I've had moments I thought, God, why did you design us where we have to eat all the time? I mean, I've had days I thought, well, tomorrow's another day where I have to eat again. And then it's not just eating, it's having to choose what to eat and where to eat. And then I thought about my wife, Cindy. It's impossible to choose because she will say to me, oh, I'm easy, honey. I'll eat whatever you want. That's not true because she doesn't like the things I want. And whenever I would list things, she would say, no, not that. No, not that. And I go, well, would you just tell me what I want? Yes, she goes, no, sweetheart, whatever you want. So I'll pick a restaurant. She goes, nah, not that one. And after 3 or 4 of those, I just give up. You know, it's too difficult eating. But you know, you have to sleep, you have to eat, you have to breathe. So the issue is, am I making good choices? See, if I asked you, what is the most spiritual thing a human being can engage in? You might say, well, meditation, prayer, reading scriptures, serving humanity, maybe going to church. I don't know what you would see as spiritual, but all those spiritual acts actually are connected to one singular act, and it's to choose. See, before you pray, you have to choose to pray. Before you meditate, you have to choose to meditate. Before you read the Bible, you have to choose to read the scripture. Before you're involved in a community, you have to choose to be involved in that community. Before you love, you have to choose to love. So to choose is the most important spiritual activity you will ever engage in. Your entire life will be created by the choices you make. Which begins to make sense to me in Scripture why God puts people at intersections where they have to make a choice. So in Exodus chapter 14, beginning in verse 10, it says, as Pharaoh approached the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. Now, most people that have been to church a long time, you get this moment. The people of Israel have been enslaved by the Egyptians 400 and something years. They've been crying out to God, God, deliver us. So then God invades a man's life named Moses. He sends him to set the people of Israel free. He confronts Pharaoh. Now, by the way, this is not a job he asked for. He got drafted, right? I didn't ask for this job. I don't think Richard asked for this job. But you get drafted. Volunteers don't last. But when you get drafted, you can't quit. It's a big, big difference, right? So he confronts Pharaoh. God sends 10 plagues. The people of Israel get released out of Egypt. And all the treasures of Egypt go with them. Then Pharaoh changed his mind. He goes after them to kill them. And now that's where we are. Verse 10, Exodus 14. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up. And there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. They cried to Moses and says, was it because there were no graves in Egypt? You had to bring us over here to die? Why couldn't we have just died there? Say, what have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Now, this is funny, but wait a minute, and I'll show you. Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die out here in the desert. And Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you'll see the deliverance of the Lord's going to bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me, Sparky? Tell the Israelites, let's get moving. Raise your staff. Hang on. This is real life stuff. Just hang on. And this is crazy. This is almost funny. So put your hand over the sea, divide the water, stretch your hand out so the Israelites can go through on dry ground. Okay. Here they are at a critical, pivotal moment in life. And they have choices they have to make. And the choices they make will affect their future. So what I want to talk to you about is this unique dynamic that humans have with the future. Because a lot of Christians have this magical view of the future that it just sort of happens. But I want you to realize the future does not just happen. Humans make the future happen. Now, silkworms are made by God to create silk. I don't think they wake up in the morning thinking about, should I create polyester or should I create silk? I think they're designed by God to create silk. So, honeybees, they're created to create honey. They never make peanut butter. That's what bees do. They create honey. And we can see silkworms creating silk. We can see honeybees creating honey. But we don't realize that humans are made to create. Humans create futures. Animals can't. Your horse can't create his future. So if you're not choosing the future, you're entering into the wrong one. Have you ever noticed that when you just let the future happen, you end up with the future you never wanted? See, if you're here and you hate the life you have, if you're here and you're wondering, how did this happen to me? It's because the future happens by the choices I make and you make. And if you don't make the choices consciously, you end up defaulting to the worst possible choices. It's really odd. If you don't choose to choose, you'll create a life you never wanted. And you won't know how to work your way out of it because your choices now become a pattern in your life. And you're not able to see that choices brought you where you are today and what choices can get you out. So he says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up. They saw the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Now, this is kind of a whiny crying. Now, a lot of prayer is just whining. See, it's whining to God because nobody else is going to listen to you. And now it's amazing. They see Pharaoh and they're terrified. So why would that be the automatic response? Just because they saw the most evil emperor they had ever known chasing them down with an army to kill them, why would they be terrified? I mean, because what they saw, they forgot who God was. If you remember, they had just experienced God sending 10 plagues on Egypt. No small thing, right? They had seen that, 10 of them. Have you ever thought to yourself, the reason I struggle with faith is I've never seen a miracle? You ever thought, like, if God just show up once, big time, like epic, undeniable, like part the Red Sea, I would never doubt again. That's not true. You'd forget by the next day, because yesterday's faith won't carry you through tomorrow's crisis. It says they were terrified, even though they had experienced the deliverance of God. So God set them free from Egypt, and now they don't have enough confidence to believe God can finish the job, which is why a lot of us panic, because we begin by trusting God, by following Him, and then when life gets turbulent, and it will, and it gets challenging, and it will, we think God isn't going to come through, that He didn't know this was coming. So we cry out to God complaining. And then they said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt you brought us into the desert to die?" Now, why would that be funny? Why couldn't we just die? And you brought us over from that side of the platform to this side to die. Why couldn't we just die over there? It's just this kind of silly talking. So what have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Now, I love that question. What have you done to us? And then the next line. Do you ever remember something the way it didn't happen? They said in verse 12, "Didn't we say to you in Egypt?" Now, here's Moses. They're coming at him, the leader. "Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians?" And Moses is like, "No, dude, you didn't say that. That really never came up. That wasn't an option anybody advocated. Didn't know you wanted to stay in Egypt. Thought you'd been screaming and crying to get out." Right? Because here I am out here being a shepherd, living my life with my sweet wife, taking care of sheep, no problems, no stress. I have to get a burning bush because you are crying out to God. I didn't volunteer for this job. God didn't really give me an option, and He sends me down to you. He says, "Now I got to go face Pharaoh because you're crying out to God. Set us free, set us free." And now you're saying, "What have you done to us by getting us out of Egypt? What were you thinking, setting us free? Why, we were just a bunch of slaves. We didn't know how to be free. What were we thinking? What were we doing asking for this? Let us go back." Have you ever prayed a big prayer, even if you didn't believe in God, and you prayed this big prayer like, "God, do something great in my life. God, I'm created, I think, for great things. God, could you just do something awesome? Could you do something incredible in my life?" See, if you pray to God, "God, do something great in my life," then do you end up going, "Oh my God, what's going on? My whole life has turned upside down. I'm in the middle of crisis. What are you doing?" See, if you want God to do something great in your life, God has to send you through great hardship, great trials, and great crisis. Buckle up, buttercup. Be sure you know what you're asking for. So don't ask God to make you great, but keep your challenges small. Because great men and great women look for great challenges. See, I think we pray and we want God's outcome, but we don't like His process. We pray and ask God to do something with our lives to set us free. Then we get mad when He takes us out of slavery and He moves us into the uncertainty of freedom. See, what they didn't realize was that now your freedom is going to bring great responsibility. And so they suddenly felt like maybe the slavery was more attractive than the uncertainty of freedom. I wonder if we're like that. You ever wonder why you keep dating that guy? Why you keep the job you're miserable in? Some of you hate a relationship you're in, but you're afraid to be alone. So you'd rather keep the wrong relationship than go into the desert where you have to let go of everything so God can bring you something new. Some of you are afraid to let go of your job, your security, your safety, to step into a future that God's birthed in your soul with a dream and a longing and a passion, but you'd rather stay in the security and safety of a job you hate than a career that will fulfill you. Some of you hate your life. And then the moment somebody says to you, "You know what? There's a way you can have a new life." "Well, what's that?" you ask, right? Well, you have to surrender your life to Jesus. Because you see, when God stepped into human history and died on a cross and rose from the dead, he actually made a way for you to step out of the life you hate into a life you can only imagine. But we don't do it. We're like, I don't know. I don't know, Rick. I hate this life, but it's the only life I know. I don't know if I want to give my miserable existence to God, because who knows what's on the other side. It might even be worse. But here's the thing. Even if God gave you a new life with the same you, you'd screw it up. You'd ruin it. See? Because the only way you can actually live a new life is to become a new you. Right? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians and die in the desert. I think the code word for desert is future. See, I think a lot of us are afraid of the future because the future is always different than the past. So we'd rather be trapped in the past than to step into the future. I think we have a perception that we're all moving into the future, Rick. But just because you're stepping into tomorrow does not mean you're stepping into your future. Because tomorrow comes no matter what you do. 2025 already came. Now, I'm going to give you my pet peeve. On Instagram, you will see famous preachers, speakers, men or women. And every new year, they say, this is the year of breakthrough. This is the year of your increase. This is the year your financial debts are going to be challenged. This is the year that God is going to and going to and going to. Now, let me tell you what 2025 is really going to be for you. It's going to be the same sucky thing it was last year, unless you change. Nothing is going to break through. Nothing is going to increase, because I'm looking at the same you, and you're doing the same thing, the same way, the same thinking, same habits, and they can put out there this is the year of it. This is not, that's nonsense. Nothing's going to change just because the calendar changed. Tomorrow's coming no matter what you do, but not your future. You have to step into that by the choices that you make, see? So the future comes based on what you do. So some of you, maybe you're burning up tomorrows because you haven't stepped into your future. You're trapped in the past. You're cycling the same mistakes, the same choices, the same pain, the same fears over and over again. If you want something you've never had, you are going to have to do something you've never done. And I'm telling you, if you can take it like it is, that's where you'll stay, that's where you'll live, that's where you'll die. You do not have to die where you're born. You can move. You can move geographically. You can move in your thinking and live next door to somebody who's living 50 years behind you, because you changed. I don't think the same way as they do. I don't want to be like them. My father and mother were divorced 5 times. I should be a serial killer. I should suck my thumb. I should go on some talk show. How sad a life I had. All I remember is saying, I don't want a life like you had. I don't want a marriage like you had. And by the grace of God, I will not have one. I've been married almost 51 years to the same woman. I love my children. I love my life. Is it easy? No, but we made choices. And those choices determine your future. You are who you are, where you are, doing what you do because of the choices you made. Once you left home, it's all on you. And you made those choices, and you're sitting there, and you know it's absolutely true. Nobody made you do anything. Nobody could. You could drop out of school. Then you can say, well, I wish I could live where he does, or I wish I could have that car. I wish I could have that life. Well, you could have, but you made choices. Somebody else made choices you didn't want to make. They got a bigger reward than you got. So you've still got life left in you. It's still not too late to make good choices that determine your future. It's amazing how many times God has to say, fear not, in the Bible. Because the future for all of us is always scary. And I think most of us have a default mode. We would rather accept the comfort and safety of a past that holds us captive than the mystery and uncertainty of a future that our souls long for. So Moses says, don't be afraid. Stand firm. You'll see the deliverance of the Lord. He's going to bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. So God is saying, I'm going to put your past in the past, But just like the Egyptian army chasing down the Israelites, your past will always hunt you down. You ever thought about that? You thought you let it go. You forgave. Now that bitterness is creeping back in. You overcame that addiction. Now it's haunting you again. You thought you had let it go. You thought you left it in the past. But all that hurt or all those wounds or all that fear, all that doubt just keeps coming back. You ever felt like I left it in the past, but my past keeps catching up with me? It's because the past is always running after you. And if you allow yourself to be paralyzed in the present by not moving into your future, the past will grab you and suck you back. And what's crazy, it's always the worst part of our past that pursues us the most. So Moses says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Okay, now I'm going to kill a sacred cow. That's probably the most misinterpreted statement from preachers in the Bible. You only need to be still. Have you ever heard that? Psalms 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I'm not sure why, but in my 20s, everybody who knew me would say, Rick, just be still. Just be still and know that He is God. And you know what I found? Everybody who told me to be still was really still, like dead still. And that verse would be used to stop me from being too proactive, too ambitious, too determined. And everybody would use it to act as though I were trying to move into the future too fast. But that's not why God said that. The first time this is ever said is here in Exodus, although Psalms are written later. So they're not running into the Red Sea going, come on, God, do your thing. No, God tells them to be still, not because they're trying to move forward, but because they're trying to go back. God never tells somebody to be still because you have too much faith, too much courage, too much ambition, too much activity, too much proactivity. You know, I know you're awesome, but you're not too fast for God. So here's the rule. If you're trying to retreat, be still. If you're ready to give up, be still. If you're considering returning to slavery, be still. Let God fight for you because God only moves forward into the future. God's got your back. So just keep moving forward. And then he says, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me, Sparky? Now, I love that. Sparky, I just added, okay? That'd be an odd thing for God to say. I mean, aren't we supposed to pray to God? Isn't he trying to get us to pray? Who prays too much? And God looks at Moses and said, what are you doing, Moses? Now, you know what I've noticed? A lot of people hide behind spiritual language to hide their fear. We want to pray because we're afraid to act. So we just keep on praying. We want to be still because we're paralyzed to move forward. And God says, why are you praying now, dummy? Don't you see the Egyptians? They are moving real fast into here, Moses. They're coming hard. They're coming fast. This is really not the moment for an in-depth conversation, Moses. You need to raise your staff, point it towards the water, part the sea, and move. And God says, tell the Israelites, move out. You ever get confused with God? What do you want me to do, God? Well, verse 14, be still. Verse 15, move on. That's why you need to keep reading. Because some of you are so still, God thinks you're dead. You're just trapped in the past. What exactly is your life? See, the future doesn't just happen. You make the future happen. The future doesn't come to you. The future waits for you. 2025 is waiting for the person who has the courage to create it. And you need to choose the future. Every single day of your life, every moment of your life, choose the future. You need to lean in and move forward and trust that God has a future for you. He says, I know the plans I have for you to do you good, not evil, to give you a hope and a future. Everybody in this room's got a future. God says so. He says, it's good, and I'm going to do you good and not evil. So I'm going to stand on that no matter what circumstances may throw at me. So God simply says, you can be better than you are. Your life can be better than it is. The world can be better than we know. He raised your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so the Israelites can go through on dry ground. So I wonder what choice God's maybe waiting on some of you to make right now. What is the choice that will open the future for you? You may be just as naive and unaware as a silkworm. You didn't know you were created to create. You're just disconnected from that reality. Did you know you were creating futures? Are you aware that you are a creative being by God, and every choice you make ushers in a future you're going to have to live in, and your children will have to live in? Others will be affected by your choices as well. So here's the problem. A lot of people have this magical view of the future. If God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. Who taught you that? Give me scripture for that. See, who taught you? You are disconnected from the creation of your future because that is exactly the opposite of what scripture teaches. You are a creative being, and your choices are your most spiritual activity, and they are your power. And here's the problem. Evil people don't wait for God's permission to create a future they want with their dark imaginations, and they commit everything to make life a nightmare for us. And they're creating a culture and a future in America right now behind the lines. That's going on. They're not passive, but good people just sit back going, why didn't God do something? God, we're praying. And I think God's looking back at us and saying, why are you praying to me right now? I think God is screaming at us, look, I've done something, sweetheart. I created you. Now you do something. You get to create the future. You get to make the choices you want. So stop blaming everybody for your pitiful life. Sure, other people's choices may have crashed into your soul. They might have left you wounded. And you're not the only one who's been hurt or wrecked in life. But those choices do not have to define your future. Amen. I was given away to different relatives to raise back during all those divorces in time with different people. I don't have PTSD. I just remember thinking, well, I'm too young to be out of the home right now. But one day I will. And I'm learning what not to do by living in this house. I'm learning what choices I don't want to make. And I've seen the result of this, and I don't want it in my life. So I'm making choices even before I have the power to make choices that will be mine once I leave home and never go back. And I remember saying, I want my children to want to come home. Now, it'd be nice if he'd leave, but I think I did pretty good on that one. They don't ever go away. And then the grandkids come in too. But I love it. I mean, seriously, I love it. But I didn't want them to have a home like I had. So I made choices. Or you can just be a victim the rest of your life. Suck your thumb, drink Maalox, and just whine and complain and get ugly and nobody want to be around you. Enough of that. Choices. So the ripple of your choices will affect countless multitudes that you're completely unaware of. The choices this man and this wife that Richard and Gail have made have created jobs, employment, goodwill, changed lives, restored marriages, people recovering from addictions, people that had no hope getting hope, all came on that courageous choice to come to Ocala and start a church. Same for Cindy and I. A U-Haul trailer, making a choice to go to San Antonio, not knowing anybody, having only the money from the sale of a home. Nobody gave me a silver spoon. I had to make a choice, take a risk, step out on the water, and move. If you want to walk on the water, dude, you got to get out of the boat. Hello, come on in. The water's fine. Or you can just stay on the shore and watch the rest of your life and be a spectator. I want to play. I want to be in the game. I want to catch the ball. I want to throw the ball. I want to do something to make a difference in this world. I want somebody to say at my funeral, this person in my life made my life bigger, gave me greater vision, and made me think bigger than I did before. You can leave a footprint in this world if you want to, or you can just be an observer. I don't think people want to sit on a bench on a sports team. I think they want to play. So I want to say, Lord, I don't want to sit in the bleachers. I want to get in the game. I want to play. I want to play. I want to get in this great adventure called life. So, what's your part? See, what would happen if all of us decided we're going to choose the future? We're going to live our lives creating a future only God could dream up. We got to believe that we are God's creative agents to create a future filled with beauty and truth and goodness. And we're not going to live our lives apathetical. We're not going to drown in mediocrity. We're not going to live in fear or paralysis. We know who we are. We have power to choose, and we're going to choose to create a future no matter what anybody else says, no matter what anybody else believes. I'm not going to let facts affect my future. See, if you're going to go with the facts, you aren't going to create a future God has in mind. Because we've always known war, we've always known violence, we've always known poverty, we've always known injustice, and all those facts tell us, well, I guess the world's never going to change. So then let's be unreasonable. I can change my world. I can't change the world, but I can change my world. Where I live, where I work, where I play, my home, my family, with my friends. I can flat change that. I'm a change agent. And you are too. We're the salt of the world. You know, it takes a little bit of salt to change the taste of a big salad or a big meal. Steak, let me put it this way. Salt is never affected by anything. Salt affects everything it touches. Nobody ever says, this salt tastes steaky. No. It's interesting he used salt. Salt is not affected by anything, but it just a little bit changes the taste of anything that it touches. You're the salt of the world. Things ought to get better when you walk in. People ought to be brighter when you walk in. There ought to be a little bit of joy, optimism, hope can when you walk in a room. You change the atmosphere in a room. Are you like that? Or you just suck the life out of a room? Yeah. Well, that's your choice, see? So we're here to create something new. What will you choose? Just bow your heads with me for one more second, and I'll stop. Close your eyes. There's a choice you need to make right now. Now, I don't know what it is, but there's a choice that will open your future and break you free of your past. In fact, I want to ask God to make that choice so clear in your heart, when you hear it, you might not want to hear it because it may scare you, it may threaten you, and it definitely will always cost you something. But I want you to choose your future. There's some of you here right now, and maybe the choice you need to make is to surrender your life to Jesus. 2,000 years ago, he made a choice for you. Jesus chose to die on a cross so that you and I could have a future and a hope. And right now, some of you, you know that. Now, maybe you didn't know you're going to be at this place at this moment, but you know it's time to cross that line of faith and give your life to Jesus. He has no small plans for you. And I want to lead you in a simple prayer where you give your life to Jesus and receive his life. I mean, you couldn't get more creative than the Lord and the Holy Spirit. And if he's the God of all wisdom and creativity, he never made any two of us alike. No fingerprints are alike. Then how can I live a life so boring, so monotonous? Then that never would be the will of God for your life. God's got good plans for you. So there are a lot of things you and God have to talk about later. But the starting point is simply this. Jesus, I give you my life. If you're here and this is the choice you need to make, Jesus, I want to give you my life. You can pray that in your heart and just whisper those words to Jesus right now. Jesus, I give you my life. And God will hear you. And here's the beautiful thing. If you give him your life, he promises to give you his life. And his is a whole lot bigger. And with that life, he gives you a future and a hope. Don't waste any more tomorrows without taking a future into them. Jesus, I give you my life. And if that's your prayer right now, or you're not sure, and you want to pray that prayer, I want to pray for you. Because 2025 will be no different if you refuse to change. If you just whispered that prayer, Jesus, I give you my life. Would you just, nobody will come to you. Nobody's going to bother you. Just slip your hand up so I can see you for 1 second. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. I see a lot of hands. God bless you. God bless you. Just so I can see. Wonderful. Wonderful. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be hesitant. Thank you, Jesus. I give you my life. Okay, I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for those that in this moment have whispered those words, Jesus, today I give you my life. I pray that in this moment you would wrap them in your love and let them know you've heard their prayer. And even as they have given you their life, you have given them your life, and they belong to you. I thank you that in this moment they are choosing you. They are choosing a life. They are choosing the future. And where you are, there's always a future and a hope. May they step into that future. May they find courage and faith to leave the past behind and step into a future that only you could imagine, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that through your death on the cross, through your resurrection from the dead, we live and we have hope. We don't simply have tomorrow. We have a future that steps into eternity. We thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just thank God for those who just responded to him? Thank you, Lord. I bless you and praise you. And may the choice in this 2025 year to live a different life, to walk a different path, to choose the future, will allow you to choose to follow the beat of a different drummer. May God bless you the remainder of this year with a great hope and a great future, a changed life, a changed situation, because God's given you the power to choose your future. God bless you, Nuke. God bless you. Now.
Wasn't that great? Did you enjoy that today? Pastor Rick Godwin, what a huge blessing.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.